You covered two items at once, and I thank you for that, and particularly for pursuing the needle disposal problem. It's certainly a huge problem here, it sounds like. I'll add as an aside, to some degree, that Pam and I attended a joint meeting between the Washington State Hospital Association and the Association of Washington PhDs just, what, 3.5 days, starting Sunday of this week, and there were multiple talks about U.S.-wide opiate abuse and the drug that you mentioned and the efficacy of the drug. That was probably the best presentation of the whole meeting. And I'm super happy to hear that that's going to be instituted here, because it sounds like that is, at least currently, the answer to a horrendous problem. And also, in part and parcel of that joint meeting, is that all the presentations, including the PowerPoints and this and that, as well as audio tapes, are going to be available to this board via both organizations. It'll take a bit of time to compile those, but when they are compiled, we're going to share the sources with the board so you can hear and see on your own. It was an outstanding meeting, intense. I felt like I was an intern again, getting up at O-Dark 30, and anyhow, intense, but well worth the time. And
we have a report further from the delegation of powers. We just did the bylaws, but we still have delegation of powers. Mark, we talked about this earlier today, the delegation of powers issue. Our last meeting, and Mark and I had a conversation yesterday, and I need some clarity, and Mark gave me some clarity as to what the board sees us doing. My view in this, when I got on this committee, my first meeting as a commissioner, was that we were going to look at delegation of powers to make your new job somewhat easier. Two, we're going to look at roles and job descriptions, trying to tap into your expertise and your expertise, so that we're not just working on contractual, writing a contract every time someone comes and goes, but we actually have a philosophy of the board of how we want this. We've completed yours, we're still working with Jerry on his, but I think, and I just want to check that I'm thinking correctly here. My feeling is that we need to do this, even if it doesn't impact the contract with Chief. But if this whole thing, EMS, goes over to fire, they need to know, and we need to be assured, that they understand the breadth of this job that's being done. They understand the statutory requirements of this being done, because we owe that to the people of this community. You had a little different reason. I'd like to hear yours, and then I'd like to hear from the board if that's really what we're doing. But I don't want to be rewriting a contract. I don't want to be spending hours and hours on this if we're going in the wrong direction.
Job description language is in existing contracts, but by having a resolution that specifies those job descriptions and the delegations of power, and the two are interlaced, we have a standalone separate document that could be guidance for any future commissioners. And it also, I think, adds some assurance to both the superintendent and the EMS chief what their jobs are, and that they're not as mutable as a contract, that they have something they can count on that's passed by resolution. It also affords them some measure of protection, and they know where the boundaries are for their jobs, and I think there's value in that for everybody.
So I'll be the first commissioner to add a comment beyond the committee, and that is, I think it's an extremely important adjunct to the bylaws, and it's something that needs to be, as Warren, you pointed out, passes a resolution prior to any potential merger with Fire 3. So it's a super worthwhile endeavor. I chose to add those to the July agenda, independent of the bylaws, even though not ideal, given that we're still waiting to receive the work product from Chief Martin, and to pass those in unison, because they are distant cousins, so to speak. So they will be coming up in July, Warren.
We did meet with Chief Martin, and he has presented his work product, and it's good. And we also refined the delegation of powers table, respecting his position and his actual boundaries in that document. And Chief, is it my understanding that that aspect of the work is pretty well done?
Yes, I'm just waiting to get back on a couple more issues from Richard Davis, and just to have him look at some other ones that he has worked with, and make sure that we are within the boundaries of the norm.
Okay, within terms of dollar values,
yes.
And categories.
Okay. Exactly. Yes.
Yeah, and I did have some email exchanges with Richard Davis, our counsel, just to discuss the idea of having a standalone document that combines the delegation of powers and the job descriptions. And he said, well, it's not absolutely necessary, that anything could be undone by any future board vote of a majority that wants to change the resolution as well as any contract. That it's just another layer that would be there. Does it have protective value for the superintendent and chief? Possibly not, but I think it falls in the category of it doesn't hurt. And I think, too, the two documents are naturally related, and that's why they're combined.
Yes, but in future boards, you know, if they do change that in a substantial way, either document, they're going to have good reason and stand scrutiny from our community. So I think it adds more protection, perhaps, than you just alluded to, Mark. But in any event, I think it's a necessary adjunctive. They are adjunctive documents to our new bylaws.
Yeah, now Pam's document needs to be rewritten and, to become a resolution, so I can rewrite that in a resolution format.
Thank
Unless you,
Mark.
Care to, Tim, Pam, would you like to do that yourself, or would you rather I do that?
You two are on the committee working with this. I would feel more comfortable if you wrote it as resolution, since I'm the person that it's referring to. I don't want to write my own resolution.
Sure. Well, I'll get together with Apple, and we'll,
okay.
We'll work up.
And I'll consult with you. That's fine. Yeah.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
Annalisa.
Just while we're talking about committees, I had a question about protocol. And that we had, there was a special meeting, not of this board, but of two of our board members and the chief and Dr. Sullivan and several others on the 11th prior to our meeting.
That's the next.
It is.
The next subject.
Okay.
We're going to talk about, which I'm doing a
report. Oh, okay. On. Well, I just had a question about that. It seems to me that because it is a special meeting, that don't we need to approve that as a board as to who.
We do, a matter of fact.
Stands in for us?
I was going to mention that.
Oh, great.
It's somewhat after the fact.
It
was by necessity that uh-huh. meeting was convened.
Uh-huh. And then do
permission.
We need to approve the notes or the minutes that Commissioner Smith sent us from that?
Okay. No, they're for internal distribution.
Okay, great. Thank you.
You're welcome. And speaking of that, you want to speak to that?
So speaking of that, as you said, we had a meeting earlier this month to discuss basically EMS's training and education program. And we came up with a plan for documentation. We developed it and approved it with a submission date of the end of this month. And a follow-up letter to be written by, I believe it was the 6th of July. So I think that's the end result. And we are going to be scheduling another meeting to do follow-up to that because this meeting, we don't have the deadline yet, so we will be scheduling another follow-up for further discussion.
And when will that be?
I don't know. We haven't scheduled it yet.
But you will be meeting the deadline of the 1st?
Yes, I have already met with, and I think Dr. Appleton did too, with Wayshawn and Jerry's also met with her regarding the information that the medics are going to have compiled. They've already compiled it, as far as I know, at least Wayshawn has, and they've got it all in packets, and it's all ready to go, and it will be done by the 30th, which is 2 days away. So that is in line, time-wise. So we're just going to have a meeting to follow up on that.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to inquire as to the timeline on that possible meeting. When would that occur? We're talking sometime in early July?
We're talking hopefully before the next July meeting, our next regularly scheduled July meeting, so that we can report on it.
Thank you. Thank you.
Board. So, during the upcoming of this meeting, or the meeting that we're talking about right now, I had concerns about way some of the information came to us and whether or not there should be an executive session. And we got, to my knowledge, a verbal opinion whether this qualified for executive session. And they said it was no. Unfortunately, I also have a law degree, which made me then go read the law. And there's only two ways we can discuss the things. It's in the public, and I'm all open to that. But there are certain areas in the law where they want you to have, you're allowed to have executive session because it deals with a variety of complaints, personnel, recordings, all of this kind of stuff. And I think for the protection of this group, and I'm going to make a motion that we get a written opinion from our attorney as to whether RCW 42.30.110, which deals with executive sessions and as part of the open meetings law, applies. An oral opinion has no worth in the court. And I think that we need to have that opinion as to if this comes to another discussion in the public, where we go. If this turns one way or the other. It hasn't got there yet, but this could turn, and I think we need that. So I make a motion.
And your motion is, sir?
The motion is that we get a legal opinion on 42.30.110 as the applicability for executive session dealing with the issues that we're having this meeting on. So that is chairing the meeting on.
Yeah, a second.
Very good. So a discussion, I have one question with regards to the attorney. Are you referring to Richard Davis or from the gentleman who rendered the oral opinion, and that is, sorry folks, and that is Oscar Ray of MRSC?
What I'm referring to is the attorney that will write an opinion with no caveats at the end saying consult another attorney.
Oscar. Which attorney presented the oral or the verbal?
That was Oscar Ray. MRSC.
Isn't it just typical response to consult our own counsel with regard to?
Not at all. 90% of his opinions.
Maybe turn it off for his cycle of grants.
It's the a connection in the wall, unfortunately.
Okay.
It overmodulates, but 90% of Oscar Ray's opinions are rendered in written form. So it's usual and customary. Time was of the essence in this regard. Nathan got a verbal opinion. Dr. Appleton, JD, said that's insufficient. I concur, frankly. And so I would suggest that the administration ask Oscar Ray first, and it's cost effective. That's number one. Number two, he's familiar with the query. And if he's willing to render an opinion in written form that stands the test of scrutiny, so be it. If not, then Richard Davis, who's our district attorney. Is the board okay with that?
And that's an amendment to the motion?
Yes.
I am all in favor of us discussing this in executive session. We have a responsibility in the community to make sure we are on top of providing the best medical care to our community. So absolutely.
Yeah, true. So all in favor of my amendment to the motion?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Unanimous. And so the motion is modified. All in favor of the motion modified by my amendment?
Aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Unanimous. Aye. I'll say it twice. Okay. Motion passes unanimously. Very good. Thank you, Warren. Okay. The next. So, relating to your query before, Annalisa, as far as this meeting of what was the date? The 11th?
The 11th.
Yeah.
6/11.
So, two representatives from the board were Dr. Appleton and Rebecca Smith, and I would suggest that We keep those folks. They've done a terrific job, and as long as these meetings continue to occur, we have both these individuals represent the board.
That was a motion.
Mm-hmm. I second it.
Very good. Discussion?
I would say that we have two knowledgeable commissioners involved in that task. It's a necessary task, and I think they need more time to work on it. I would encourage them to schedule the meeting as earlier in July as possible.
Well, I'm of that opinion, too, because we did everything of the essence and oral opinions and this and that, and now I see no timeline. So I'll be pressing that point.
Thank you. And
we just need a resolution.
And I agree with that. I mean, the topics of discussion are other than acute sense, to use a medical term, and again, time is of the essence. Put it on the fast track. So, yeah, it's a motion. Hand. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you. Okay, next is Citizens Advisory Group update and issues. Pam, you have the first two bullet points.
Okay, the Citizen Advisory Group met last night. They met with Brad Creasy from Fire Department Number 3. And the next meeting is July 18th at 6:30 p.m. at the SJC PhD Number 1 offices, which is at 849 Spring Street, Unit B5. They have elected to have meetings. They had the one last night, June 27th. The next one will be Wednesday, July 18th at 6:30 p.m. And at that meeting, the EMS budget, and they were here from Chris Compton and Chief Martin. Then on Wednesday, August 1st, they will hear from the Public Hospital District, our side, and also the town representative, Duncan Wilson. And then they have scheduled another meeting on Wednesday, August 15th, and the subject matter is to be determined. And then thereafter, they will have meetings every first and third Wednesday.
So the other than these five that are community representatives, is there private citizen comment time to talk and give their input, or are we just?
They voted at their meeting with all five of them together to allow the public to attend the meetings.
Is there public comment at the meetings?
Yes.
Yes. At the end, I believe.
Also, actually, we should note that there's an email that they have as well for the community to reach out to them. sjicag@gmail.com. And I applaud them for being open to the public.
Yes.
Annalisa, they've also asked to use our website to publish their minutes, which are beautifully written by Nathan. Mm-hmm. And I suggest the board consent to that. So I'll ask the board. Is the board okay with that? It doesn't need a motion, but
yes,
it'd be nice to hear your approval. Great.
And we should thank Nathan for his extra work in putting together these meetings and making the minutes, and thank you.
And he's very well received by that group, we'll tell you that. They think he's a rock star, so. Okay, thank you, Pam, so much.
Question.
Yes, sir.
First amendment issue here. We are allowed as commissioners to have our First Amendment rights as long as we identify ourselves as individuals and not talking to the commission. Is that true?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
But this group helped in forming that group, the CAG. So the First Amendment says we should be able to go and talk individually. Is that everyone else's understanding of that we could go as sit out there and talk to these guys as public?
Absolutely, because you're a private citizen. Yeah.
As a private citizen, is there some verbiage that we should be using to make sure that we all agree that we've said something that we're not representing this committee?
Yes.
Because there is that going to be that appearance to them and to the public, but I still have my First Amendment rights. And
correct. But with that disclaimer, matter of fact, it's alluded to in the bylaws and the legal manual from MRSC, et cetera, that as long as you explain initially at the get-go that you're not representing the board, you're representing a single individual, a private citizen's opinion, then you can have at it.
I said that more for the public. I already knew what the answer was.
Thank you, sir.
You know I'm going to show up one time.
It sounds like it.
Yeah.
Why not? Any other comments about the Citizens Advisory Committee? I would say, you know, they're meeting at 6 o'clock. The meetings are scheduled for 2 hours. They're going to do that every other week, I think.
6:30.
Pardon?
6:30.
And the meeting here started at 5, is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Ignore all the time references I've made tonight, and it will be okay. So 6:30 to 8:30, which is even more egregious, and you know, basically that's private time, dinner time, and all that. You know, the board, and I can speak for the board, I hope, that we really appreciate that. They're tackling a time frame that they feel they can deal with in terms of being comprehensive and thorough and honest and get opinions from Chief Ralston, for instance, and Chief Martin, and a whole host of other people, and they're doing it right, as I see it, and, you know, I greatly appreciate it. So does the board, I presume. So,
I want to thank Nathan for the great notes from those committees. They're just really nice work.
Thank you.
And I want to thank Pam for keeping Nathan in line as he gets close to a wedding.
Yes.
So the agenda now is a new business, and the first is consideration of Resolution 18-489, Salmon Island EMS Alternative Fuel Exemption Resolution. Chief Martin.
Commissioners, this is basically a housekeeping resolution for our organization. Fire has done this, as far as other departments within the state. The state legislator here a few years back passed a resolution that we go to start using biofuels and electric fuels for our response apparatus. The problem is that they're not making electric ambulances and electric fire engines. The biodiesels that are out there now aren't suited for emergency services. The one thing that, like bigger departments like Seattle Fire, Everett Fire, Tacoma Fire, where they're using their inspectors may have that go out there and inspect buildings and such that aren't emergent cars, they're able to go to electric vehicles. So this resolution gives us exemption that we're allowed to do from the state, and it says that at the current time we are not going to go to biofuels or electric fuels for our vehicles. So this is again just housekeeping a resolution.
So every one of our vehicles would be exempt. There's no vehicle we can have.
Yes.
And that includes the truck that we have, Jerry?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, because I don't think there's any place on the island that you can get biofuels, and the biofuels that you can get on the mainland are not suitable. There's no guarantees that if you need to get an emergency vehicle from point A to point B that you're going to make it, and if you need to be sitting or idling at quite some time or putting out a house fire, that the fuel is sufficient for that operation.
Thank you, sir. Can the board hear a motion to...
I motion resolution 18489 for approval.
So I was actually going to talk about resolution 18-490.
No, I said 489.
I know. I was just, since you jump started me, I was going to get back at you, but it didn't work. Okay, a second for
seconded.
That? Very good. Discussion? In the absence of discussion, call for a vote. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Passes unanimously. Okay, next is resolution 18-490, my favorite, which is a resolution to consider using the sale proceeds of the Inter Island Medical Center to offset the bond costs for the new Salmon Island EMS building. Dr. Mark?
That's what's been discussed in times past, but we haven't resolved to do it. So this is just making formal what we've already agreed to.
The whole ball of wax?
Yes.
Net.
The whole thing?
Right.
The net proceeds.
The net proceeds, including any abandoned earnest money. We've already been through one failed sale that had an earnest money thing. What happens there?
And how does it come into the district coffers?
It's sitting in escrow, I think, Mr. Green. We have not moved the first contract that was pulled earnest money to the district itself, because it just happened recently and right before we left. So, but that does go to the hospital district. I don't know if...
I'm not asking for official opinion. I just wondered if this resolution is going to cover that or not. Because
is that your intention, Mark? Have you thought of it?
I hadn't thought of it. It's a good question. And I think it would just go into the district's...
yes, because when we had the meeting, we had to call a special meeting for the commissioners to evaluate the proposal of the contract. Therefore, we had to pay, the district had to pay the commissioners for that meeting. So I think it, the earnest money should go to the district if they pull the contract, because it was district costs that have to be covered.
And the district had to pay for an appraisal.
Right, and then get the appraisal correct, because they only had two and we were forced to get the third one. And so this resolution should just be for the net proceeds of what the sale is.
Of a sale.
Mm-hmm.
Just as long as we're clear that all of a sudden the money doesn't go someplace and we have an auditor saying you didn't have a motion.
But the resolution does so state the sale proceeds, correct, then? The actual resolution.
The net proceeds.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think we're safe. Any further discussion? Okay.
Do we have a second?
Aye.
Yeah.
I think
we did.
I was worried about earnest money.
Yeah.
You talk about money, I pay attention.
So call for the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Passes unanimously. And then the third bullet point is the extension of the listing agreement with Bill Giese. And that expires, what, the end of this month, Bill?
Yeah.
Okay. And Pam was going to talk about that?
Yes. Every year the listing contract comes up before us. Bill Giese has been our realtor from the beginning to represent the district to sell the Inter Island Medical Center. And it does expire at the end of this month, so you need to consider if to renew that listing agreement with Mr. Giese.
So it expires on Saturday, when you say the end of this month. That's the day after tomorrow.
June 30th is the last day of the month.
Yeah,
so,
okay.
Yes.
Thank you, Pam. So I brought for a motion that we extend Mr. Giese's listing agreement for the next 12 months.
I have a question. This was spoken of as being resolution 491, is that correct?
No.
No. It should be 490.
There's no resolution number associated.
Okay.
So that's why I proffer is a motion.
I second your motion.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
Any discussion? I think it's Bill has done an outstanding job in the face of adversity, frankly, and I've had a number of sidebar conversations with him as far as the individuals involved, both primarily and secondarily, and he knows his stuff, he does his homework, and represents this the district board as superbly. Thank you, Bill.
Thank you.
I have my thanks. I think you're doing a great job.
Thank Any you. Other comments? Call for a vote. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Passes unanimously. Okay, and then I added a resolution, which is resolution 18-491. And again, that relates to moving our usual and customary meeting date for regularly scheduled meetings from 5 p.m. to 3 p.m. And there are a number of reasons for that. One is to accommodate, better accommodate the schedules of staff and commissioners. Number two, one is to not encroach upon the private time of our citizens, particularly dinner time. And number three, to minimize overtime to our staff employees as much as we can. So that's the basis of my request in this resolution. Can we hear a second?
Can we discuss?
Second.
Was that a second there, Annalisa?
Yes.
Thank you, ma'am. Discussion?
I wanted to say that I mean, while I understand that it is relevant to keep the meeting within business hours, especially for our superintendent and Mr. Butler, I do feel that we have an obligation to the public to make these meetings accessible to them. And, you know, I don't have a normal work schedule. I you know, run a restaurant, so I can't say that, like, 5 o'clock isn't great for me, but somebody that works a normal day job, 5 o'clock is the appropriate time to attend a public meeting. So, you know, I have concerns that this creates a hardship for, you know, allowing the public to weigh in.
Yeah, and that has been discussed many, many times as long as I've been a commissioner. You know, there's no right answer. I think with the situation is that we have in hand, you know, with the superintendent as well as Nathan, our staff costs are significantly higher than they used to be.
Sure.
Fire District 3 has their meetings and has had for decades at 3 p.m. So, but I certainly, what's that?
The county council meets early in the day.
Yeah, that's correct. You know, virtually everybody does. But your point is well taken. And, you know, it's, that's a negative. I think there are more positives than there are negatives, and that's why I proffered this resolution. Any other discussion? You want to say something there? Or?
Yes. Yes. All the other county officials, the Board of Health, the Town Council, the Fire District, they all meet either earlier in the day or in the early afternoon, so that's another reason, as Commissioner Edwards stated. And to the commissioner's schedules, I thought that 3 o'clock in the afternoon met your schedules better.
Thank you, ma'am. Any further discussion, comments? Okay, call for a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
That's cool.
It's difficult sometimes.
I'm going to just vote against it.
Okay, very good. Motion passes 4-1. Thank you, everybody. Now, the next order of business is an executive session. This meeting will not be adjourned until after the executive session. I'm calling for 30 minutes to delegate to the executive session. The executive session relates to RCW 42.30.110, parentheses 1 in parentheses, which relates to consideration of the minimum price of real estate for sale or lease when public knowledge regarding such consideration would likely cause a decrease in price. Okay.
You need to write the time.
I've got the time down.
I do. I don't know where it's at. Okay. It probably doesn't work anymore.
I have this hearing loss in my right ear.
I think
last
it's
time I saw this my NP, she said it looked like a
stroke. So do you want the executive?
Well, why don't we just walk over to
you? Can we do that?
Well, if you could walk, I could walk.
Yeah, I got to run over there. I'm not going to do any of those things.